The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 229. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vail.
Shalom.
And Brian Manjoma.
Only a thing happened with Brian. I don't know.
Don't spoil it. By the way, I think Brett was stolen by White Walkers. Oh, he's not here right now. Yes, I know. I know Violence and Empathy or Isaac. I know to stay away from Twitter. I made that mistake for a split second. I'm like, oh, don't stay away. Because the thing is, whenever I have like a little bit of time, I would sneak on Twitter just to see what's up. And then I was like, oh shit, just get off.
I'm surprised. I feel like that's the way it is for all shows and movies, especially movies. Like freaking all these Marvel movies and all that shit gets spoiled real quick online.
Yeah, that's so why you got to. That's why you got to watch it first or stay away for a while. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I'm not seeing like the Avengers, and you know, like right away. So I'm not gonna look at anything.
Yeah. All right, man. So I'm not gonna vamp because I want to watch Game of Thrones after this. So let's just get into it.
Bam.
Keeping it real, good. People. It was keeping fun. It was real, man. All right. So the first question is from Mr. Matt Wheaton. So he asked, "Do you believe game journos will ever get good, or are they doomed to simply be game juros?" I don't know what that last part means. Brian, can you enlighten me on that?
Is that like a churro? Game churro?
I don't know what that is either. So,
all right, Matt.
That's on you and Tony.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Here's the thing. You got to understand that a lot of the guys that are, you know, out there, you know, talking about, you know, like games need accessibility or need to be easier. A lot of those guys are like the top dogs with the loudest voices. Most game journalists are good at games. They're regular gamers. You got to understand, most of gaming journalists are like not even paid to do this shit. They're just regular guys like I used to be. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They know how to play their games. They're all right. So as for the guys who, you know, will they ever get good? Who knows? Who cares? Don't listen to them. Go to people who you do trust, you know?
I would say the best, yeah, exactly. Go to the people that you actually trust to, you know, the opinions of, as opposed to kind of, you know, giving a crap if, you know, some, who's him or what's it at whatever site it likes a game. You got to understand, you know, for the most part, to be a game journalist, you don't actually need to be good at games.
No, you don't.
You don't even need to play. I've seen some ad postings. It was like, just have to be good at writing.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't ask if you get, if you ever see any sort of things for these sites, they don't say anything about you have to be good at writing. You just, essentially you have to have
be good at gaming.
You have to be good at gaming. You don't have to be good at games. You have to be good at writing.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
To be honest, you also don't need to be an expert to have an opinion on something either. Most of YouTube can tell you that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess just ignore that shit for the most part. I know it's stupid or whatever. Just ignore it, man. Just follow the guys that, you know, you're investing in that you could trust, and that's that. Don't worry about these other guys, you know?
Yeah, it's you know, I don't, it just seems like a lot of times some of these folks are kind of grasping at straws for things, you know, as opposed to just like, all right, looking at the way the markets and fan bases work, you know, not every, to be honest, you know, as much as everybody wants to say that everything should be everyone, not exactly everything is for everybody. Those sorts of harder games are built for people that like a challenge. Now, if you have a person who doesn't like challenge or viewing a game that requires challenge, obviously you're going to get somebody, you know, you're going to get some pushback, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, Chris, what's your take?
The only way that's ever going to happen is if these guys, if game journalism starts like really losing out to YouTubers and Twitch streamers, because these guys don't think that they even have to review the game completely, play the game completely, and get really entitled, and then get really pissed off when people see their playthroughs or whatever, and then they're like, "Yo, you didn't even really play the game," or how could you not get past a tutorial or something like that? It's kind of embarrassing. So the only way to get past that is to literally either these guys need to have a wake up call, or these outlets need to hire some guys who actually give a damn.
It is a question, because this always comes up with these things. Do you think a reviewer should be able to do the review after they finish a game? Do you think it's a requirement that they finish the game do the review?
Yeah, I love this question. It depends, and I'm saying this as a game reviewer. It depends on the game. It depends on the game, right? Like if you're playing Tetris, that doesn't really have an ending. You could play that for a couple hours and get a good gist of it. But if it's something more narrative based, like a Telltale game, like you should probably finish that so you get the full understanding of it.
Like
they
did, like Witcher 3. I remember when that came out and people, it had mixed things. A lot of people liked it, but then other people were like, oh, it's too crazy. It was like, how do you expect the reviewer, when they have other things to review, to finish an 80 plus hour game?
Yeah, see, that's the tricky part. See, for that, and even though
Persona 5.
Yeah, yeah. My thing is, if I've played, I have a narrative game like that with so many things, open world, I'm like, because my hard rule was, no, you got to finish it all 90 hours. Now, since I have to review other games, my personal rule is 30 hours, right? Like 30 hours, but make it known that you didn't finish the game. I always write that in the review. If I don't finish it, I will let it be known. But about 30 hours, because here's a little bit of a golden rule for you guys that I've noticed. I learned this from writing on Cool Stuff back in the day. Cool Stuff is the blog me and Manny used to have back in 2010, mm-hmm. right? When I started, Adam, of course, were there too. We started, but you guys joined very, very close after we initiated. But the thing I learned after my first five reviews, I'm like, wow, I only need about 4 or 5 hours in a game to get the gist of it. Because I'm never going to talk about the ending, obviously. I'm not going to spoil it. It gives me a better understanding of things. But, you don't need to beat most games in order to write about them. But at the same time, there are some games that you should finish so you get a better understanding. Here's mm-hmm. two perfect examples, right? Dragon Age 2 and Dante's Inferno, right? Let's just say I played the first third of Dragon Age 2. I was about to say Dragon's Age, like Brett. I would hate the game. I'm like, this game is trash. What is this? But when I finished the game, I'm like, wow, this is actually cool. Like, it all culminates in a nice way. Then with Dante's Inferno, if I would have only played the first third of the game, I'd be like, this game is amazing. This is great. But then I played the rest of it, I'm like, oh, this turns into dog shit. So in those cases, you really should finish it. By the way, I think the reason I almost said Dragon's Age is because Brett just dropped in, so it just sunk into my mind. Hello, Mr. Brett.
Haha, it is Dragon's Age.
Yeah, since we're kind of going off of Adam's question here, Brett, what's your take on, whether you should finish a game, if you're going to review it or not? Do you think you should finish it or you shouldn't? Or does it matter?
If you're going to review
it? Yes, if you're
going
to review it, should you finish a game? Yes or no?
Yeah, do your fucking job.
Even if it's Tetris?
What do you mean?
Like Persona 5 or Witcher, these like 80 plus hour games to complete. Forget about doing all the side shit just to get through the story. And then, these reviewers have other games they have to review. There's multiple games that come out every week. I mean,
yeah, that's the life of a game reviewer.
Yeah, I think that, now that I do review games and I have done, I could understand it's like there's wiggle room in there, because I used to be my hard rule. Like, no, you need to finish the game. Now it's like, you don't actually need to finish the whole game. But if you don't, you need to make it very clear in your review that you haven't,
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, unless otherwise stated, if you thus explicitly say that I did not finish this game. And usually that comes with an asterisk, like, I could not bring myself to finish it, to get more than two-thirds of the way through this game.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Like, that's... But, if you're just like, hey, I reviewed The Witcher, I didn't have much time, here's 20 hours, review. Like, no, you label that shit an impression so far kind of thing. Like, I have no problem with you giving me your thoughts without, finishing the game. But if you're doing a review, no, you do that. Like, there's shitty parts that come with every creative or awesome job. Like, for every dream job, there's a part of it that you just fucking hate and didn't even think about. Like, for me, I have to do way too many basic tattoos. If I have to do one more thing of something turning into birds, I think I'm going to smash myself in the face with a shovel. I cannot stand it. But it's part of what I do. Like, Manny, you get to draw awesome comic book characters. Like, I'm sure sometimes even just some of the panels in the comic that you draw, you're like, oh, this is arduous, this dude. Like, if you have to draw a fucking courtroom scene, are you thrilled about that? I'm pretty sure no.
I mean, there's a pro and a con to doing something like that. The con is the fact that you have to draw a courtroom. The pro is the fact you can hide a bunch of stuff in the courtroom.
Oh yeah,
that's the one place where you, as a person who works in comics, where essentially the guys above you do not give a shit as to what's going on, as long as it looks like what it's supposed to look like. So there you go.
Yeah, and then in my case, and I was talking to Manny about this on Friday, there are those moments where, you know, yeah, it's like, yes, I am playing a game and reviewing it, but sometimes I don't care for the game I'm reviewing, so I need to, like, you know, like, I have to, but I still have to give it as much, like, care and attention as I would a game I am interested in. So, you know, sometimes I get reminded this is a job, you know. But the thing is, Adam brings up a good point. Like, when you have those massive open world games, man, I don't know about that, but here's the thing. I want to give a shout out to Tanya, who's joining us in the chat room. She goes that there are some cases where, you know, you have people that are doing reviews in progress where they update the review later. That's a possible thing.
Review in progress, yeah, that's a total,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, legitimate. Yeah, they do that. So I guess that's a good, you know, stopgap until you actually finish the game. And people seem to accept those. So I think that's, you know, for these massive fucking games, I think that's probably the best way to go, you know?
The lines get even more blurred. Like, okay, so on a big open world game, you quote unquote finish the game by rushing the main storyline and not doing any of the side quests. Maybe all the side quests are where the flavor is, like Fallout. You get a very different perspective of Fallout if you only play the main story versus if you do a lot of the side stuff. A lot of the side stuff is weird and hilarious, and you can tell pretty much, like Manny said, like when the higher-ups don't give a shit, that whole game is made up with level design, and the higher-ups don't give a shit. Like, you want to set up something that looks like a teddy bear, you know, family having a dinner, and then, you know...
Well, yeah, that is because there's so much in that game. A person on the top cannot vet every single portion of that game. So that means that a developer, just as long as they're not putting something horribly obscene or out of place inside of there, they can do funky, silly stuff in there like that.
Yeah, and it's great. And that's one of the things that makes the game. So the line becomes even further blurred with, okay, if you finish the game in an open world game, what part did you finish? How much did you finish? If I drive through straight through the division without ever playing with a single person and never do any of the end game raids or anything like that, if I really played the same, if I had the same experience that you have, and I think a reviewer, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to review the experience that the game provides. But if the game is providing different experiences for everybody, how the fuck do you say that? So I realize I'm just arguing with myself that I'm a fan of philosophy. We do that.
I also think that, you know, a portion of it is also, you know, when it comes to reviews and stuff, is also to set your net a little bit wide. I mean, if you're just reading one reviewer, that's also not going to help you.
You got to read multiple
reviews. Because sometimes there's going to be stuff that, you know, jump out to one reviewer and not to another. There's going to be something that one guy saw that, you know, the other guy didn't see. And I mean, even when back in the old video game magazines, I would buy multiple ones and read multiple ones just so that I had a better sense. Have a better sense as to what I was going to be in for if I hadn't already made my decision as to if I was going to buy the game.
You see, I find this really interesting because these used to be two separate worlds. Like, you used to have MMOs, which were these giant open worlds that had all kinds of serious quests or all kinds of different quests. And then you had more linear games. And the linear games got reviewed, but Brian will back me up on this, back in the day, you didn't review MMOs. You didn't review games that were any type of game as a service because there was never an end to the content. There was never a definitive endpoint. You gave impressions, but you'll never see MMOs reviewed, like hard reviewed the way you see video games. And now that video games are kind of coming into that MMO territory with huge worlds, branching storylines, side quests, you know, it's too big for one person to eat. We're still trying to do these antiquated good bad reviews, Like, so it's kind of weird, but I do feel like if you say that you've reviewed a game, you should have at the very least digested the minimal amount of content that the developer intended you to digest, and that is the entirety of the main story. Let's be fucking honest here, people. Dark Souls has proved this time and time again. Most developers will hold your fucking hand through the entirety of the game. Like, there is no excuse not to finish the single player game. Like, even is it Dean? That guy's name, the Cuphead guy?
Dean Takahashi. Yeah.
Yeah, even Dean Takahashi can finish most games and review them. So with the whole, you know, the developers have very clearly incentivized you and given the ability to go through the entire portion of the main game. If you want to, they'll get you there. Even a half-blind idiot can do it. So if somebody is giving their reviews on Dark Souls and said, hey man, I tapped out, that's one thing, because that's the type of game that's trying to make you earn it. If you only made it halfway through Cuphead, reviewed it, and let people know, I only made it halfway through, this game is fucking brutal, cool. That I understand. But for most games, the idea or the reason that it's so simple is that they want you to have this amount of content. This is the developer's vision, and they don't want you eating only 80% of that cookie. They want you to eat the whole cookie of the main campaign. That's why it's the main campaign. It is the obligatory stuff. So I guess, in a way, what I'm arguing is there's a certain amount of content the developer's intended for you to see. To review the game without having seen that content, I don't think you can do.
Yeah, it's tough, man. All right, let's move on here to the second question. By the way, Matt Whedon loves to give us questions about mechs. He always has a different version of the same question, just different enough. Stop me if you've heard this before, but what would be your favorite video game mechs from any video game, whether it be Japanese, American, or otherwise, from Battletech to Zone of the Enders? So, yeah, what are your favorite mechs in video games?
The ones in Titanfall, that was it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed those. Those are mechs.
Yeah, they're mechs. They are. They're mechs. They're mechs. You know?
Yeah, you can send them to do shit when you're not in them, so...
Yeah, they're mechs, because I think there's like a size requirement, and the Titanfall must actually kind of exceed the minimum, so you're good. Those are mechs. They're obviously, they're like autonomous mechs, but they're mechs.
Mm-hmm. That was like my favorite mech shooter. Think about it. Like, that was the first one where your guy, yeah, he could jump out another one, but he could actually jump on top of another one and rip open the hatch, start shooting a guy driving it. That was awesome.
For me, Virtual On. You already know I love Virtual On. Back on the Saturn and stuff, the arcade. I never played the arcade version though. Until later. But Virtual On is the fucking shit.
Go ahead. I agree.
Yes. Yeah. It's awesome, man. Now here's the question, Brad. Which one's your favorite Virtual On robot?
Oh.
Don't worry. I don't remember the names either.
Oh, you know? God damn. Well, no. That's the question. Like. There were like three or four of them, but like I enjoyed that game so thoroughly that there were just only a couple of robots that were like, nah, not that one.
Yeah, you're right about that. Robots you didn't like, because most of them were pretty badass, you know?
Yeah.
Man, oh, and it's coming back.
Did they all have a sword?
I believe they did. I mean, some were faster than others. I remember there was this big bulky one that was fun. They had the girl Virtual On. Yeah, man, I want to play that shit right now just talking about it. All right, Brian, favorite mechs in video games?
I'll go Titanfall as well.
Nice. Manny, can I answer for you?
You can, but you might be wrong.
Okay, go ahead. What's your favorite mech?
No. I was going to go say the Zone of Enders ones.
Ooh, I am wrong. Although I'm kind of on the right path, though.
You're on the right path.
Metal Gear.
I mean, I do like, I mean, to be honest, like the only, the better of the Metal Gears is Metal Gear Rex. I mean, to be honest, the original Metal Gear had like this stupid chicken robot, and that I didn't care for Metal Gear Ray. I thought that one was kind of dopey.
Metal Gear Ray
with a stupid like water laser.
Yeah.
What about Arsenal Gear? You got a giant island. You're sitting
it's just
on.
An island. Isn't it even a mech?
Yeah. Or wait a minute. What was crazy is like I think Solanthropus got all of them beat.
Yeah,
Rex is the best one. Rex is fucking awesome. Yeah. All right, Chris, what about you?
You know, I got to go back to MechWarrior 2 on the PC. Man, I used to love, like, there was a few games like that. There was one on 3DO, and there was on PC. Now, MechWarrior, you know, the idea of American mechs, they're just big and slow, and you got giant guns and shit, and you're just plowing through, like, cities and troops and whatever. So I loved that. I loved having all the switches and stuff. Now, I never played Steel Battalion, but MechWarrior was pretty close. You know,
nobody ever actually played Steel Battalion. Everybody just has one friend who did.
And that one friend also bought that big ass controller for it.
Yeah. I really wonder if we all know the same one guy.
It's not one dude.
It's fucking Todd. Todd.
Yeah, of course.
I used to love, because like Japanese ones, when I played Zone Avengers, I'm like, wow, I didn't know mechs could move like this. They're moving all fast and shit. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've seen Gundam and stuff. I never played anything like that. Like, I played MechWarrior. There was this other old PC game where just this big slow mechs, and they're all shaped like different animals. Like, one was a scorpion and shit. It was awesome. And then you have your different switches. So like, you have, everything is nuclear powered, so you have a reactor in your thing, and I would just be like, fuck, I'm just gonna crash it to the base and overload my reactor and just blow everything up.
Oh man, that's awesome. Let me get some answers from the crowd here. Actually, before that, Brett Annihilator wants you to know that Fallout 76 and Anthem suck. Trolls, damn,
he's just trying to fan the flames.
Let this man live. Shit.
You can think what you want to think, man.
Right, a black metal gamer.
You're allowed to have bad taste. That's...
All right, black metal gamer says Virtual On is in Yakuza. Yes, it is. It's fucking awesome. Yakuza Kiwami 2. GZDR says he likes the mechs in Lost Odyssey. And Sketch says Front Missions Wanzers. And Violence and Empathy says, if you like Virtual On, play Gundam Versus. I've been told that, but I never liked Gundam games before, so that might be a little...
Did anybody say Armored Core? I'm surprised no one really got into Armored Core.
I never played it. That's the From Software game. You got to love that game,
man.
You?
That's the Dark Souls of mech games, man. Literally. All right, moving on here. G-Megaforce 1, 2, 3. So... best game or best game accessory that you ever got from a cereal box. For me, Star Fox Game Watch from Kellogg's back in 1993. All right, so did anybody ever actually order any of these things from the box? I'm going to say this for me, no, because you had to pay for shipping. I was like, my mom's not going to pay for that shit.
So I've only done that once, and it wasn't for cereal. It was for the G.I. Joes. You send 5 proof of purchases, and you get the fridge pairing with the football, or you can get whatever for that season.
I remember that. Yeah, it was Cobra Commander with the hood.
Yeah.
But I never got anything from cereal. Just if they have
Charge and Slaughter
inside, that's it.
Yeah, I never got anything from cereal. And then by the time I could have gotten it, when I was older, I stopped eating cereal because I'm like, okay, I'm not a kid anymore. I have to eat this shit. I don't have to eat this shit anymore.
Well, recently, what was in the news, and we all know this, was that out of all the cereals, recent cereals, the one to give you something that was actually useful was that Mario one, the Nintendo, remember? Because that one actually had an amiibo or whatever. It gave you something when you scanned it in your game. And that was like a first. Give you something like that, something actually useful in a video game.
Mario cereal. That's right. Yeah, my dumbass. I reported on that. That's right. Did anybody actually do any of this, like, for a video game?
Nah, man, I had that shipping and handling. Fuck that noise.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro.
Sometimes you get something in there, but it usually was just some sort of plastic thing, like, you know, hey, look, it's a spoon cover, you know, stuff like that.
But the mail away stuff, I guess nobody in here did it. All right, moving on. If you could put a video game related design on toilet paper, what would it be? That's interesting.
It's easy. This is the easy one. Metal Gear, first one. All the weapon and gear. Just a listing of all of it. So as I'm wiping, I could say, oh yeah, I never got that piece. Now I do, and I'm wiping my ass with it.
For me... both Lords of Shadows games, like, for obvious reasons, like, that's, I could literally wipe my ass with that game.
Gabriel!
Ooh, damn, Sketch says Fallout 76, I could shit on it more. Manny, what about you? What game do you want on toilet paper?
Game I want on toilet paper? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, on that topic, has anyone ever bought those themed toilet papers? Because they're out there.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm not putting that stuff in my butt, man. Yeah. I don't know what kind of chemicals they got in.
Oh, the best is one that actually has like.
Adam's getting high off this shit.
Yeah, because it reminds me of there was a comic book store I used to go to, and they used to sell that in the front. I'm like, who buys this? And the guy was like, well, you'll be surprised how many people like to buy this. They give them away as spoof gifts. And I'm like, oh, okay. It works. And one had already poopy on it and stuff, or it was stained yellow.
Yo, you guys in the chat are being brutal. Black Metal Gamer says the EA logo, so he'd wipe his ass with them every day.
Dude, that's where my mind goes. Like, can I get Marcy from Fallout 4?
Oh, bull, her.
Just a picture of her face, repeated. Just one on each square.
Glorious Word says Dark Souls because the series is a pain in the ass.
But don't bump.
I like that. Brian,
you know, if they made Dark Souls toilet paper, though, it would be filled with like small glass shards.
Yes.
I mean, I would think if the Dark Souls toilet paper will probably just have a bunch of that weapon lore all over it. It's like the sword of Aglamaglon. Built from the souls of 20,000 virgins and one horse. What?
No, it just randomly every once in a while would have a splinter in it. And the only way that you'd be able to tell would be by carefully analyzing the toilet paper. Like, all the information was there. If you looked really close, you could tell where the splinter was.
Oh, yeah, it'll just, like, you have to read the lore of the toilet paper on the toilet paper, and that's how that's the Dark Souls paper.
That's how you understand the story. That's how you
fully understand it.
Scott says Dark Souls toilet paper is called sandpaper. All right, Brian, what about you? What do you want as toilet paper?
Just EA. But EA. Then knowing them, they charge you for like each sheet.
Yeah, it'll be filled with microtransactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't wipe your ass unless you put a quarter in every time, you know? Adam, you're not going to like this one. Glorious War says Gears of War 1 because the textures look like shit.
Oh, man. You know, I don't know, because for me,
I think he's trying to trigger you.
He's trying to trigger you.
But you know what? It didn't even matter because it was the roadie when the gameplay is really what got me, man. That chainsaw, just cutting bitches up. It was fun. And seeing the blood squirt on the screen and shit, come on now. That was fun.
Then he's going to reply, man, I don't like that game.
Black Metal Gamer says Sekiro toilet paper would be sandpaper glue with cactus needles.
Something more rusty.
It would just be blocks of wood.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah. Wipe your, like the wood still has the bark on it and everything. Yeah, not even you smooth. Have this
challenge, like, no.
Rough hewn planks of tree.
Oh, that's Sekiro. Oh, man. All right, let's move on before we really get crazy. Annihilator, who's actually joining us, are there any developers or publishers you avoid like the plague?
I've been actually avoiding EA games for the last, whenever the last Mass Effect came out. I haven't played an EA game since then.
You mean the last main Mass Effect is a...
The last main Mass Effect, yeah. After Mass Effect 3, I have not picked up another EA game.
All right, Chris.
I'm mad at EA, but I haven't really actively avoided anything. I almost avoided because I'm like, I don't got good feelings. Like, I didn't play Anthem because I'm like, the same reason I didn't play Destiny. Although I had worse vibes about Anthem. And then I turned out to be right.
If we're also talking about actively avoiding, I also actively avoid all Bethesda games.
Oh, yeah, There you go, man.
At Battlefield 5, I was told not to buy it, so I didn't, you know? But I didn't. I was like, "All right, it's not for me then."
I used to avoid all Acclaim games. Remember Acclaim?
Well, man. Acclaim.
Their games are trash. Holy crap!
What about Turok?
Fuck Turok! Fuck the dinos!
You got dinosaurs.
The horrible wrestling games. I remember when they got the wrestling games were so bad. I wasn't surprised they went out of business. So like, oh, they're going under. I'm like, finally.
You're like, good run to bad rubbish.
Exactly. The one game they published that I loved was Star Control 2. That was a fucking fantastic game back. And they published it. They didn't make it.
They published it. They didn't make that.
They didn't make that, no.
Yeah, I've never avoided developers, really, you know. Yeah. There's been some I just don't play games from, like, until Destiny. I haven't played an Activision game since the Spider-Man games. Like, that was a good stretch of time. Like, I was like, oh, I just don't play Activision games. But no, I don't really avoid them or avoid them like that. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, it's crazy. Sekiro counts as an Activision game.
Yeah, it does. Isn't that something?
Yes.
And also, Burnout is an Acclaim game.
Wait, oh, really?
Yeah, the first one.
Oh,
that's wow. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Before EA took him in and shipped him out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go, Adam. Your whole world. With the first one, though. It's the first one, Adam. It's the first one.
Mind blown.
Yo, get that Sekiro toilet paper, man. Wipe your ass. Yeah, but even companies like Bethesda, I'm not going to avoid their games. I'll play them, you know, especially since they got Doom and Wolfenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, Doom. I'm not avoiding them.
Yeah, no, I don't really avoid any companies.
I avoid all their trashy open world games. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The glitches get to me, man.
All right, Brett, what about you?
Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's not just 4 hours of cutscene.
Hey, listen, I love them cutscenes. They look pretty.
All right, Brett, do you avoid any developers or publishers?
He says all Kojima games. That's what he says.
Yeah, there you go.
No. I'll be honest. Like I love Metal Gear 1. Like, Kojima game really hooked me since. But again, I put them in him with CD Projekt Red. Like, highly talented. Maybe just not my speed. The guys who made Ark. Fuck those guys. I forget what they're called. But
Craft Company.
Yeah, well, they're trying to come out with that second game that's going to be the apex of every game ever from the most broken company that can't even tie their fucking shoes right.
All right.
So, yeah, what's that new game coming out from the...
It's a space game, isn't it? I don't know.
It's the pirate game. That's what they're making.
Oh, well, yeah, it is a pirate, yeah.
It's called, like, Atlas or something like that.
Yeah,
some
don't care. Like, don't care.
Space pirate game.
Barry Byrne says, I avoid GameStop stores to the point where I will walk on the other side of the street rather than pass one. Damn.
Why?
Damn.
Yeah.
Barry has some deep-seated experience with them.
Like some personal stuff? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's personal, yeah.
I hope they rebrand, they change up. You know, the GameStop name it's tainted already. They need to change the name, but then just make it smaller. I don't know, just make it more.
Break them back up into software, etc.
Yeah, man. Right. There you go, man.
Sort of like that. Yeah, or just bring back the Funko style of business. You know, it's okay.
Man,
we'll have a bunch of collectibles because that sells, but the games and all that stuff, that's not going to be on display. Here's a book. Look at it in a book. Check it off like you're in a Chinese food spot, and then we'll send Jimbo in the back to go get it for you. You know, that's it.
Oh, man.
Let's keep it simple. Let's do it that way.
All right, Black Metal Gamer, an interesting one. If you could have, yeah, black. All right, first question. If you could have any heavy metal album covered by a MIDI chiptunes band to make a retro video game version of that album, what band and album and what system's chiptune soundboard would you choose? Example, if I wanted Iron Maiden Somewhere in Time all done by Genesis chiptunes, that would be fire. All right, this is a very interesting question for the metalheads here. But I'm going to open it. By the way, I'm going to open this up to any genre, you know, because come on, it's just the big, there's like, even though the majority of us are metal guys, but, you know, let's just open up to any genre just for fun. Chiptunes bands, I don't know any. I don't know. So I'm going to make it even simpler. What album would you like to be made into chiptunes, and what system, you know, what sound chip would you want it to use? So let's go with that. Let's keep it nice and simple and universal for everybody.
All right.
Too many.
Go ahead.
I'll say I would want Chaos AD done in a chiptune
form. Sepultura.
Sepultura.
Yeah. Especially getting those drums. I don't know chiptune. So somebody who could do that.
Territory.
Yeah.
Chaos AD.
man, that's some shit.
That's the real stuff.
I have a little attachment with that for your story, because there was a talent show at my high school, and there was this guy, and he was like in a band, and he said he was in a band. He was like, "Oh, I'm in this band, and we do some covers and stuff." I was like, all right. So anyway, it was during the day, and we had to go into the auditorium and hear all these, you know, talent acts stuff. And he came out, and he says, yeah, I forgot the name of the band, but it was like real subtle. He came, yeah, we're so and we're gonna be doing a cover as a Pedora. Thank you. And he moved back, and then territory. And it was like, I looked at the crowd, it was like three guys putting horns up. Yeah. Everybody else was like, what is this shit? Teachers are like, all right, can we send our classes back? Because this is bullshit. He's like jumping around on stage. And it was nuts, but it was funny. It was a funny moment.
It's hilarious.
The Michael J. Fox thing, where it's like he's like, "This is blah blah." Blah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because he was real soft spoken with it. He was like, because it sounded like he was nervous. Yeah, we're gonna be doing a cover of a band, Sepultura. It's territory. Okay, thanks. Bye. Anyway, boom, 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 boom. It was good. It was cool.
Chris, what sound chip would you want to use on that?
Well, I don't know. If it's for video games, whatever was in the Super Nintendo.
Okay, there you go. The Super Nintendo chip then. All right, Manny.
And you know why I say that too? I have a reason.
Uh-oh.
Because this was already done. There's a Spider-Man game, beat 'em up, called Separation Anxiety.
Yes, I know that game. That I remember that one.
Okay, they took Mob Rules, right? And they put it in the game. Like, the main theme of the game is the Mob Rules, yeah. And it's done very, very well. So that I think of that when I made my choice.
Awesome. That's pretty cool, man. All right, Manny, what about you?
Chiptunes metal. I mean, it's funny because I actually do have a couple of, like, not, you know, just like MIDI versions of songs. You know, back when we were doing like websites and stuff, you could put a MIDI in the background playing while you were doing stuff. But for metal, I would say, I would actually go with whatever Sony was using in the PlayStation. They had a pretty good MIDI system. They used it. In fact, the best way to actually tell that Sony games were using MIDIs back in those days is you could actually pull the disc out of the console and the music would continue to play even after you've pulled out your disc. So it's
shit,
not
that's devil worship. What do you mean it's still playing when you remove the disc? That's the devil's work.
You could pull the disc out of, like, if you play Final Fantasy VII, you could pull the game out and just, and that's it. Cause everything was all loaded into memory. But, I would say shit. I would go with, I would go with something from Children of Bodom. Why not?
That kind of sounds, yeah, that sounds good. There you go.
They're going on tour this summer.
Yeah, unfortunately, Manny, you know they're playing here next week, right? It's like, come on, man.
What the fuck?
Last minute telling us that shit?
Yeah.
Let's see. Adam.
Which one did I say? Didn't I say something?
No,
I did. Oh, I did. I did not. Oh, damn. There's a few. Some that would probably be easy, but I would go with, like, Fear Factory. Demanufacture. That would be a good one.
Oh yeah, I forgot, Manny. What system? Oh yeah, you said PlayStation. You're good. Okay, Adam. What system? What system?
What system? Let's go with Sega. Why not? Fuck it. Genesis? I could see that on Genesis, because I remember when I had the Sega CD and that was amazing. I was listening to Jimi Hendrix and stuff. Like, yo, they made the future. This is crazy. You know. But for the older stuff, I think that'd be cool. Or like a Hillbilly Deluxe. You know, Rob Zombie. That was an awesome album.
Yeah, that was good. First that one. Was good. Yeah. Brett.
I don't know.
Not metal.
Doesn't have to be metal. Whatever you want, man. Whatever, you know, album.
I mean, this question is hard for me. I'm an old punk rock kid.
Don't say Pennywise.
Oh, thanks. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not. Who do you think I am? What kind of person do you think I am, Adam? You know, it's tough because punk rock, I will admit, a lot of times is just the three chord rule. And I used to love trashy three chord punk songs. Those would all make terrible MIDIs. That would be torture for MIDIs. Streetlight Manifesto's Kessaby Night probably would be my top album, because they go through a lot of shifts in tempo and whatnot. Although I do want to throw in there pretty much anything from Gogo Bordello or Corpiglotti.
There you go. Ooh, that would be good MIDI stuff.
Right? Just any corporate Kalani song. Just pick one.
Oh, yeah. Manny, remember when you used to call it M-I-D-I?
Yeah, I call them M-I-D-I.
He's like, yo, he'd always call it M-I-D-I. I'm like, MIDI? M-I-D-I. All right.
All right. Brian, what about you? What album do you want turned into MIDI? And oh, yeah, Brett. Oh, Engine. What Engine do you want? Like, sound chip?
SNES Engine.
All right, there you go. All right, Brian, what about you, man?
Which, by the way, was Sony.
Yeah, what album and what engine?
I don't know. Janta.
All right, fair enough. All right. Okay, by the way, the answer I want to give is I don't want that because it cheapens the music as far as I'm concerned. It's like, you sound like some cheap MIDI shit. But in the spirit of it, I'm going to say any Dragon Force album. That's like Taylor. It already sounds like video game music, you know? So there
it was in video games too. That was a exactly. Hard track to play in Guitar Hero. Holy shit.
Yeah. Later, Tanya, thanks for stopping by.
Bye.
But yeah, I'm going to go with any Dragon Force album would be pretty good. And Super Nintendo Engine, because that one sounds really fucking good, you know?
Man, all right. Metal's a hard one to translate. I think most other genres actually translate better than metal.
It's kind of funny because to me, metal is the easiest one because it's action packed like MIDI music is supposed to be, you know? You know, like crazy shit, you know?
Speed metal, probably.
Dragon Force is the epitome of
speed metal. Oh, I know. Yeah, no. Dragon Force is.
Yeah.
Why do you think they always translate Castlevania themes into freaking metal? Because they're pretty much are.
I think MIDI's translate into metal really well. But yes. I think it doesn't go the other way.
Yes, and I'm glad you said it because that's the thing I was going to bring up. I think, you know, and Black Metal Gamer, wink, wink, you could ask us this one day. The other way around, I think, would be better. Like, what MIDI video game songs do you want to be turned into metal? That works because it translates so well. Quick little aside story. Okay, so me and, you know, my friend Evil Chris, we've brought up many times, right? We both grew up on games, and I feel that even though both of us have different musical styles, I think both of our musical tastes were inspired by games. And I'm going to give you an example. For me, I like the feel of those songs from video games, which were metal, but he liked the sounds. He likes techno. So it's kind of interesting how, you know, games have that, like, you know, like a lot of different musical landscapes, obviously, but I still feel both of us were inspired by video game music, even though we ended up liking way different things, you know?
Dude, same thing. Like, dude, I love how they kind of rip those little, like, MIDI lines and put them in, like, background beats of hip-hop.
Yeah, that's fun, man. Yeah.
That gets my heart. It's one of the things that, like, you see expressed in my likes. So, yeah, you may be onto something there.
Yeah, man. All right. I've been thinking about that for years. Like, it's kind of interesting how him and I, like, he's a fucking techno head, loves techno. I'm a metal guy, but we both love video game music. Like, but if you think about it, if you break it down into its constituent parts, it makes sense that we went in two different ways, but from the same bass music. Kind of cool. All right. Next up here. Okay, this is from both Black Metal Gamer and Glorious War. And also, guys, this is technically the last question tonight because nobody gave us a lot. So if you want to ask us shit now, ask us now. Otherwise, I'm going to end the show and go watch Game of Thrones. Yeah, you already know, man. I got no shit.
There's nobody watching it. There's nobody here. There's crickets. The crickets aren't even here.
They're not, man. Oh, Brett, by the way, man, because my thing is whenever I have a little bit of free time, I always go on Twitter. I went there at 9:05 and I quickly shut that shit off. I'm like, oh, Tony, what are you doing? Not now, son.
No.
Every fucking trending hashtag was Game of Thrones related. It was crazy. I'm like, no, Tony, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. No, I have to watch it tonight.
Yeah, you have to, you know. Oh, I'm going to watch this shit. Are we live, bro? Are we live? What are you guys? No, you're not liver, but you guys didn't ask us any questions this week.
I can't see the chat. For all the people in the chat, I'm sorry. I was kidding. We love you guys. You are the real deal. You picked us over Game of Thrones right now. I love you for that.
Yeah, exactly. No, the truth is that I've said this many times. This show lasts as long, you know, this show is purely dictated by you guys. It lasts as long as you guys have questions. We only got a couple of questions, so that's that. But for the Game of Thrones things, the truth is, because usually we usually hang out in the chat like an hour or two afterwards just talking and stuff. I'm not doing that shit tonight, guys. I'm dipping. I'm dipping. Anyway, so both of them ask us, what do we thought about the Star Wars trailer, Jedi Fallen Order, which is the new EA game. We're going to get into the specifics of the game, you know, But what did you think of the actual trailer itself? I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. I can't get excited for a CG trailer. I didn't see any gameplay. I can't get excited.
I would say the same thing. I'll reserve my thoughts about that game, you know, when I actually see some real gameplay as opposed to some pretty cinematics.
So then you motherfuckers will get excited when Demon just says that he's making a game.
Those trailers were actually within the game engine.
Yeah.
Unlike
and Kojima and
a game.
Yeah, but Brian, Kojima has a record already. He has a proven track record. EA, I don't know.
I just find that funny.
And then not to mention, it's like, yes. Well, the thing is that Kojima never released a trailer that was just all CG.
Exactly.
Every single one that he's ever really released was using real game engine.
Like, if this game was actually made by Amy Hennig, I don't give a fuck if it was CG. I'd be hyped as shit. You know, it depends on the creator. I don't know who fucking created this shit. You know, it could be some asshole. You know,
no, it's Titanfall guys.
It's Respawn.
It's Respawn.
Okay, but for me, that's not really a selling point. You know, I need to see more.
Well, I mean, for the gameplay, that's what we talked about. Yeah, we talked about this one's gonna have the wall running.
No, but here's the thing: if Adam gets excited for it, that's perfectly acceptable because he's a Respawn guy. That makes perfect sense. But for me, I don't care. You know, I need to see more. You know?
I don't like Apex,
and that's Respawn.
Yeah, that is true. You know, but you are a Respawn supporter though.
Titanfall. I do like Titanfall. Yeah.
But I just said it's like to be honest, when you say a games company, you know that you know, hey, you know what? I heard that who are the developers of Mass Effect? I can't remember.
BioWare.
BioWare made Mass Effect Andromeda. What does that say to you?
BioWare, how far you've fallen. Manny couldn't even remember your name.
BioWare,
that doesn't say a damn. It doesn't say a damn thing because of who it was. Was it BioWare that makes the Mass Effect games? No, it was some other BioWare from another section. So it's like, okay, yeah, this is Respawn, but what version of Respawn is it?
Ooh, yeah, dude, that's just cold. That's like running your ex at the grocery store. I mean, like, hey, Amy. Amanda,
you gave me crabs. You should remember my name.
I'll reserve any sort of real ideas of it. I mean, it looks nice. The CG looks very nice. I wish the game would look that way.
Yeah, if the game looks like that,
we're going in some directions. But at the same time, it's like, well, everybody's getting excited over a Star Wars game that's being produced by EA. I just feel like here we go again. We're just setting ourselves up for a fucking rope-a-dope.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Glorious War says Jedi Fallen Order trailer was in-game Unreal Engine 4 assets. Bro, if you believe that, I have a horse to sell you. Get out of here.
The first thing that they ever were saying it was supposedly in the Unreal Engine. What do they usually put on the damn trailer? Every single trailer that has ever been with real gameplay. In engine, they say it.
Just because
they never said that.
Let's break this down right now and clear the
misconception. Okay. I could have swore that at the end of the trailer it said that it's not real game footage. I seen that.
Yeah, I'm pretty. That's not game footage. That is not game footage. No fucking way.
Oh, we'll find the trailer.
Yeah,
hold on.
Somebody look it up. Go ahead, Brett. Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
There's a difference between something like. They say that this was made in the engine or in game, right?
We don't know that yet. Brian's about to find that out.
No. When they do say that,
gotcha.
This lie has lived too long.
Is it a lie?
You can, yeah.
Why are you lying? You lying?
You can take an engine, isolate all of a part of the level, all of it away. And basically just use it as marionette puppets and fucking crank up the detail on it and make something.
Yes,
that's what they did with Watch Dogs, man.
No, exactly. And
yes, you are right about that, where it's like, you know, some companies will show us what is considered gameplay, but it's really just a veneer to show that only is meant to function as a demo that they just kind of that does everything that at specific points, as opposed to really showing something. Yes, you are right about that.
Well, and not I will go one step beyond that. A lot of times, some of the CGI that you're seeing was made in the same engine that the game was. But there is a very big difference between CGI or like a cinematic mode and the gameplay they give you. And that's just because, like, just again, an engine is a rendering tool. So if I have less restrictions, I can render more stuff. Don't believe me? Look up some Witcher fan stuff. I made that mistake once. It's interesting. But the Witcher fans got a hold of the Witcher engine, and they basically can just make anything they want now, from what I understand. It's that same kind of deal. They can make stuff that looks like it looks better than was in Witcher. And so just because they're using Unreal to make CGI does not mean the game looks like that. Please stop thinking that if they're just because they're using the engine that the game is going to look like that, because it's not.
Yeah, think about it like this. I think it was it Spider-Man 3? They did a demo of Dr. Octopus's face, right? Alfred Molina. That shit looks better than a PS4 game. You know why? Because it was just his face. There was no background. There was no character. It was just a face. So, yeah, that's how they could trick you. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the biggest thing is like...
What's up, Brian?
Spider-Man 2, not 3.
Spider-Man 2? Oh, Spider-Man 2. Yes, Spider-Man 2, yeah. But it was the PS3, right, Brian?
Yeah.
No, okay. Was it PS3 or was it PS2?
No, it was PS3.
PS3.
And the reason,
same time that they showed the ducks.
Yeah, I'm saying Spider-Man. It's PlayStation 3 because the PlayStation 3 had the Spider-Man font. Remember that shit, yeah. Brian? Anyway, did you find out if that's in-game engine or not?
Yeah, I just want to let Brett just go off.
Yeah.
So it says in here, and I quote: rendered in Unreal Engine and not actual gameplay.
Bam! There you go. There you go.
And this trailer is from the official EA YouTube page, so can't really get more to the source than that.
Yeah, that's it. That's not real. Oh, hold on. This is interesting. I did not know that Stig Asmussen is behind this game. Now I'm slightly interested.
Oh, God of War. Yeah.
Stig is my boy. See, Brian, okay. There you go. That's the hook right there. Stig Asmussen. I don't care about the company behind it. I care about the person behind it. If it was Amy behind this, I'd be hyped. Stig? Yeah. All right. You got me. I'm not saying I'm hyped, but I'm a little intrigued now.
But I
still not gonna get excited over the fucking trailer, you know.
The main problem that we haven't discussed yet, which is obvious, is the very last bottom characters of that logo, the E and the A. These guys have canceled as many games as they have released since they got the license. Basically, this game has a 50% chance of coming out.
Yeah, even wait. And that leads me to the next thing, right? And because Brian's perfect segue, right? Okay, EA is promising this is single player game, no microtransactions. Do we believe them?
They did say with Battlefield 2 that there's no season pass and you'll be able to earn everything in game, which is true.
Or they could mean at launch, first season, because a lot of them are doing that. Even Ubisoft is doing it too, because they were like, oh yeah, Division, all the content's free. It's like, and then later on, you see the farm for first year, you know, year one. Year two, they're going to have all kinds of other stuff, you know, but for year one, yes, all the DLC, all that stuff. And really, there is no microtransactions besides cosmetics, and I don't think they really consider that as impacting transactions. So I wouldn't be surprised. It depends. We might see some of those type of cosmetics, but that's not impacting. So,
and does that really carry
the matter anymore?
I don't think the Star Wars name means anything anymore.
Dude, the track record for good Star Wars side content has been less than 50-50.
Yes.
So, okay, yes. So if you're already going through, it is a 50% chance of being made, and then, like, what, a 30% chance of not being fucked over by EA, and then a 50% chance that you're just getting diminishing returns. Yeah. The actuality of this game coming out and being good are it's a tiny fraction of a number.
Yeah, I should add that EA says that the game is actually coming out this year.
They're saying November.
They said they're going to show the whole thing off, or at least gameplay at E3.
Shoot, so even we'll on that. On Xbox, you could pre-order and pre-download already.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, basically, the reason I bring that up is because we shouldn't really question whether this game's going to come out. It's going to come out. Whether it's going to be good or not, that's where we're like, I don't know. You're right about that, Brad. That, you know, our Star Wars games aren't really that good. EA Star Wars games aren't that good. You know what I'm saying, man?
And then I can't say this. I'm really being a Star Wars game or not has never been a selling point for me. I think I only have ever bought one Star Wars game ever for the, you know, in my life.
Dude, I bought a few.
That was Masters of Terrakazi, which is considered one of the worst Star Wars games ever made.
I got burned by the Force Unleashed. I was hyped for that. Then I played my this fucking sucks. You know? Anyway. Star Killer.
Yeah, Star Wars Commandos was an awesome one. That was my favorite one.
Commandos?
Okay. That was great.
You know, hey, well, I'm going to segue to another question now. What was the last Star Wars game you played that you liked? Brett, go ahead.
I love Force Unleashed.
Okay, I'm glad you like it. I hated it.
The first one or the second one?
I hated both of them.
Honestly, okay, but that's not fair of me because I'm going to check my own biases here.
Yeah.
Any game where I can telepathically pick somebody up and slam them in the left wall, the right wall, the left wall, the right wall, the ceiling, the floor, and then hurl them down the hallway, and you know, hurl a dead lifeless body down the hallway, you've immediately got me sold.
That means you like PsyOps then?
Yeah.
Brett, I'm gonna fuck you up right now, man. I'm gonna fuck you up. What, you're gonna hear a man become giddy right now, people. Destroy all humans.
Yes, that was the game I was trying to think of. I love Destroy All Humans. My God, they need to make another one.
Fantastic game. That was a good game. Yeah. That was fun.
That's all I did. They gave you so many weapons. It's like, why do I need weapons? Just pick you up with my mind and thwack, 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 thing. So it's cathartic. It is just satisfying. But my favorite Star Wars games of all time, like, I loved all of the Old Republic games, even the MMO. All
right. And those were the last, like, games you really liked? Because I'm pretty sure the Starkiller game was after that. Or was it? I'm not sure.
I think Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, the MMO, right? Yeah. That was the last one. All right. Manny, I'll be honest, yeah, go ahead.
For a fucking MMO, that game killed, like, you. And this is why I had some weird faith that Anthem might somehow be able to deliver a story. Like, in an MMO, you had a branching story with a beginning, middle, and like, you actually had a single player campaign in an MMO. It's weird.
You want to know why that didn't work? It's because whoever made Anthem was not the same people who made Knights of the Old Republic. In fact, those guys said, "Hey, this is how we do that," and the guys that made this made Anthem said, "Yeah, that's nice," and threw it out the window.
Manny, what was the last Star Wars game you played that you liked?
I mean, to be honest, I haven't bought many. I mean, you know, I guess the Pod Racers, that stupid Pod Racer game for Nintendo 64, but I didn't even own it. My brother had it. I was like, hey, this is fun. And then I was like, all right, don't need it. That's about it.
Yeah. For me, and I didn't own it, I just rented it, Super Star Wars on Super Nintendo. That's the last one. Never beat it because that game was too fucking hard.
Would you say it was the Dark Souls of Star Wars?
Yes, games? Yes, I would. That was the last Star Wars game. I played other Star Wars games after that, but that's the only one I actually liked. The other ones, I'm like, oh, this is trash. Masters of Terrascasi was fucking abysmal, horrible fucking game.
I bought that game. I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. It's like Virtua Fighter with Star Wars. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I played at your house. We were both like, nah. All right, Chris, what was the last Star Wars game you played that you liked?
Republic Commandos.
Yep.
That was the last one.
That was a classic. Oh, my God, that was so good.
Yeah, I loved it. Oh, like, you had a squad, and then you could give them the commands, and it was so good. Yeah,
that was the last that one. That was a good one.
Who was that made by?
I don't know. Let me look this
up. Adam, was that your answer, too?
Yeah, man, that shit was all. I remember playing. I'm like, what the hell am I playing? This is awesome. Sending my guys flank left, hold the ground, boom, boom, boom. And you run around, and you got Yoda at toward the end, and you can give commands. Oh, damn.
And they did all those fun
hands. It was first person shooter, yeah.
They did all those hand signs from the from the cartoon. Remember when they were doing all those hands?
they you'd see your guy doing the hand signs, yeah.
Let me see.
All right, Brian, what about you?
Last game I technically played was Star Wars The Force Unleashed, because I just thought it was quite good. I love the AI and the way that they like try and grab each other or like duck out the way. You know, like the AI was actually like reacting to what's happening. You know, like if you try to like throw a guy off a ledge and then like try and grab the ledge or grab a person and then try to like hold on to each other. I felt really bad for them. Yeah. I also did. And before that, it was Star Wars Battlefront, the actual Star Wars Battlefront, not EA Star Wars Battlefront, because that game was ass. I mean, Star Wars Battlefront back on the PS2 days. Oh, that game was amazing.
All right, let me read some of the comments here.
It's LucasArts. It was LucasArts.
There you go. Of. Man. Okay, Barry Byrne says Star Wars chess was brutal.
Which one? There was multiple ones.
Mr. King Piccolo says Star Wars Revenge of the Sith on PS2 was dope. Cool. Black Metal Gamer says SNES Star Wars Trilogy was dope. Dark Forces on PS1. Rogue Squadron games are the best. The GameCube ones were the last ones I bought. Kinect Star Wars. Oh, God, Barry, no.
That shit about Star Wars Pinball and Star Wars Lego Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Yeah,
those games. Those are quite fun.
Yeah, Violence and Empathy says Battlefront 2, the old Battlefront 2, not the new one. All right, cool, man. Thank you, guys. We got some more questions for you, so we will answer them. All right. Glorious War asks, who would you want to make a Game of Thrones game, and would you want set in a different time period? For the record, there's been several Game of Thrones games out there. Yeah.
I wouldn't want one. It would be too much talking. It would be boring. I wouldn't want it. They would do it wrong because it's all about the story. The story is what lures you in. We already know the story, you know, whether from the books or TV.
Do you want to set it in a different time period then?
Yeah, a different time period. Yeah, go a different route. If they're going to go with the characters, then just go in a different route. But don't give me the same exact show. Oh, this is Game of Thrones, the game. No, thank you.
Yeah, what about developer, Adam?
Developer, what you call it? Naughty Dog. Let them do it.
All right, Brett, give us that mechanic. You're chomping at the bit. Go ahead, Brett.
What's that?
I hear you chomping at the bit.
No, and I'm sorry, Adam. I did not mean to audibly go, ugh, when you said Naughty Dog.
Oh, no. Brian did, but you didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. All right, Brett, what about you? Game of Thrones game. What developer would you want handling it?
Can I say old BioWare?
Sure.
You mean the BioWare that made Knights of the Old Republic or the BioWare that made Mass Effect?
Well, not just both. No, like that time period, like OG Mass Effect, Old Republic, like
those are two different branches of BioWare.
No, but the same two guys were still running it. You know, all right, so, BioWare, Game of Thrones. Okay, and what about the time period?
Or you're gonna love this one, Bethesda.
What about the time period? Yeah, what about the time period, Brett? Time period.
I think I would like to play. Probably the same time period that they're doing the spinoff show in, 10,000 years before. Like I want to play the kind of like the Old Republic was to Star Wars. Like I want to see back when magic was real and it was fucking everywhere. And I want to see the formation of these kingdoms. And it'd be really cool. Like I'm normally not one that's big on prequels, but if you could go back and make a full game. You have different houses, like maybe, you know, predecessors to house, like you see the house that would eventually become the Lannisters. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to rise to prominence. It just means that not everybody in that family dies. So I don't really tell you anything about what's going on. But I'd love to see a game that's kind of a prequel so that it'd be cool when you're watching Game of Thrones and you're like, they show a place and you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of founded that place. So,
awesome.
10,000 years before.
All right. For me, I would want, I'm going to get some flack for this. I want the game done by the same people that make Assassin's Creed. If you played Odyssey, like the weapons in that are great. The big, huge battles are fantastic. I think that fits well. So I want Ubisoft to make a game set during Robert's Rebellion, and you could play as either Ned Stark or Robert Baratheon. That would be fucking insane. Like you have the battle with Robert Baratheon versus Rhaegar and shit. Woo! That would be insane. You club his fucking ass at the rivers, you know, the trident. That'd be cool. So, yeah, that's my answer. So, Ubisoft, Robert's Rebellion. All right, Brian, what about you?
It's a good question. Good question. My first thought was From Software, because then it'd just be like hard as balls, no reason.
And they would not, they wouldn't explain anything to you. You'd have to read all this flavor text to find out what's going on in the story.
It actually could work quite well, because then they like hide some stuff in there. Actually, I'm not too sure. Because again, it has to mix combats and the story like really well, and not many game developers do that. So it's hard to really say. And yes, Uncharted has bad combat. I'm sorry.
Hey, Brian, Violence and Empathy stole the answer you should have given.
That.
CD Projekt Red.
I don't know. Maybe.
There's too much.
But yes, good. CD Projekt Red. They are great.
All right. What about the time period?
I say the same as you, Tony. Make a prequel to the books and the TV show.
Awesome. All right. Chris, do you even watch Game of Thrones?
No, okay, so I can give you an answer.
And Manny, you stopped watching after season one.
Yeah. Whatever season that happened where they're being attacked by ships, that's the one that.
Okay,
that's
season two. All right, so I'll leave you guys out of this one then.
I mean, why not make it just a big like have Sega, you know, who used to do those Rome games.
They still do those.
Do those Rome games. They'll like have them do like a bunch of big battles with the Game of Thrones. Why not?
That could work. That's kind of what the mobile games do now, actually.
Okay.
I think it really depends what you want out of the Game of Thrones game.
Okay. Or you know, let's get stupid and make a Capcom fighting game. What's her face? Her super move is when she calls the dragons out and it burns the other guy.
That'd be awesome. Actually, yeah. Oh shit. Yeah.
And then you see like the little, the combo counter girl like.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Kind of also her only move.
Yeah, pretty much. You know,
well, connected to weird things like that. Funko released Funko Rides, and it has the Night King the on top of the ice dragon.
Oh shit! That's
it's awesome. Huge. Yeah,
looks cool. Barry Byrne, no, stop it. He goes, let Konami make a Game of Thrones pachinko game. Nah. Nah, man.
Hey, you know, I'm sure they make a lot of, you know, they make slot machines too. I mean, they probably have, you know, if they got the license of Game of Thrones, they probably do that, right? Yeah. Those are our games officially. They're just games that take your money.
Yeah. All right.
Just like EA games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man. All right. Sketch. Straightforward question. Have any of you played a game called Outward?
No.
No. Never even heard of it. Never heard of them.
We need more context on this one, man.
Yeah, like what is that? Is that a new game? Is that an old game? Probably some PC indie game I never heard of. Let me see. Outward on Steam, so okay. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. I'll read the description. No remarkable journey is achieved without great effort. Outward is an open world RPG where the cold of the night or an infected wound can be as dangerous as a predator lurking in the dark. Sounds like a survival game. Explore the vast world of Aurai. Embark on memorable adventures alone or with your friends. So it's co-op then too. Okay, interesting. Never heard of it. Came out last month. It looks like March 26, 2019. Published by Deep Silver. Look at that. And developed by Nine Dot Studio. I'm not familiar with them. Sorry, buddy. Can't. You know. I don't think anybody here is a. Play this or heard of it. All right. And the last question from GZDR. Did you guys talk about the Xbox SAD leak? He's talking about the Xbox One S Digital Edition or whatever the fuck it is. Apparently the leak is that the thing's going to cost $250, which sounds pretty reasonable, you know? But yeah, I don't know. You have any thoughts? I don't have any thoughts on it.
Leak about it. Do you see what it looks like?
All I know is about the price. I don't know. You know, if he wants us to expand on anything else, but I think it's the price. You know, Xbox One S, all digital edition. Yes, or Xbox SAD. You know,
Xbox SAD. We've said this before.
We talked about it before. Yeah,
episodes of the show where it's like this is essentially them dipping their toe into this world to see if this sort of thing is going to be viable. But I do. I think we also all agreed. Why would they do the S? Do the X?
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at an image now because the image got leaked. Apparently, it looks like a Xbox One S, but without the disc tray. Basically, there's no real difference there.
Oh, is that it? Let me see this. Really? Oh, okay. So it says it's. I see it on Windows Central.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, let me see. Oh, is that on Windows Central? Oh, yes, Windows Central is the Xbox site. Let me see if I could share my screen here. Yeah, here we go. I'll show this to you guys.
Okay. Let's see what this is.
Can you guys see that?
Yeah. Put it on to you.
All right, there you go.
Oh, okay.
It should be smaller though. Does it say the dimensions? That's what we. It's got to be smaller.
It just looks like the same thing without the disc.
Yeah, pretty much.
I almost feel like they're like, okay, you know what? Let's just not cut the disc hole in it.
No, yeah, that would be stupid.
You just cut the disc, not cut the disc hole in there.
Well, that's kind of what they did. They just cut the disc hole. Disc hole. That sounds dirty. You know,
stick it in your disc hole.
Whoa, not again.
Oh man! All right.
That makes sense. Why would they remanufacture a whole lot of stuff?
No, I mean, you know, it would be nice if they just had like a thin plastic whatever it is. But maybe they. They need to fit all those 20,000 fans that they put inside of the Xbox. Sorry, I'm sure the replacement for the disc tray is now a giant fan.
Xbox now with more fans.
Or they could put another hard drive in there. So maybe it's.
Maybe the hard drive fills up the hole.
You know, but like dirty maybe right like what now, they used to have it before, where you could just slide it out and just, you know, insert your own hard drive.
A hard drive fills out the hole. Really, Manny?
Yeah, it fills really? Up the whole thing.
Just like my heart.
It fills up the hole.
Fill the hole.
Slide it in. All right. Yeah, I think that's gonna do it for us, man.
So
let me pull out.
So wait, what was the price?
The rumor's 260. It's probably gonna be 250. You know, just like a regular Xbox. It should be lower though. You know what I mean?
It definitely should be. I don't believe that.
But then again, maybe you're paying more for the privilege of your owning a discless system.
Oh no!
Who the fuck knows, man?
You don't need to make that sort of mistake.
Now we know why it's called the sad edition.
Yeah, it makes it even more sad. It's like, okay, now you have all this space, but oh wait, you know what? That's what it is, right? It has more space than the normal Xboxes, right? Normal.
Xbox. I don't know. When we get a terabyte. Oh yeah, well, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
It says here Microsoft still hasn't acknowledged it.
We don't know what this is. I don't know what
this picture is. Yeah, so, I mean, this could have been a prototype, or maybe this is just someone airbrushing the damn tray.
It could be.
Yeah, he literally used content aware and Photoshop the
door. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, take it with a grain of salt, people.
They just airbrushed the button, and there you go. Because, I mean, we all imagined when we heard about this that it was definitely going to be smaller.
Wait, hold on. By the way, shout out to Reggie. He's asking us, why should it be a lower price? Because it doesn't have a disc tray.
It doesn't have the disc tray. They're saving money on that. Those disc trays are expensive, those Blu-ray ones. They're saving a lot of money on that.
Yeah, so why? Like the reason's pretty obvious why it should be lower price. Because there's no disc tray in it.
And how are you going to – you can't have it compete with its other brand, which is the same price and has a disc tray.
Exactly. So that would mean you would need a lower price just so it can compete.
Yeah. So this, if they want this to be the budget model, it has to be cheaper than the one that has the disc.
Yeah, pretty simple, man. Come on, Reggie, you're in business, man. You know this shit. All right, I'm hearing some stuff in the background. Yeah, I think that's gonna do it for us, man. So let me pull up our little schedule here, and we'll run you through it. So how to submit your questions? So step one: join our Discord. Very important. Step two, on Discord, go to throw down your questions. And step three, submit your questions and limit them to two per person. Pretty simple stuff. Again, I want to give a shout out to the Discord people. There's always a lot of good things going in there. They put me onto a bunch of shit I'm not privy to. So thank you for that. Good times, man, in there. Is anyone talking right now? Oh, Isaac's starting some Game of Thrones stuff. But spoiler, you know, no spoilers, people. It's just, you know, don't fuck it up. All right, so yeah, we're gonna leave you guys. So, does anybody has any outro shit you want to say?
Nah, I mean
I heard somebody go. Go ahead, Bert.
Can I share the story of me faking the out last season?
Yes, you do. Go ahead. This is pretty funny.
On the note of no spoilers, so last season, And I'm gonna warn you now. If you're not caught up, a spoiler is coming. So ditch out now.
Oh.
Okay. Cool. So last season, Tony was telling me right about the finale. You know, no spoilers, because he hadn't watched the episode yet. I had. So I was just trying to be kind of a dick about it. I was just making shit up, going on, you know, tossing out things like left and right. Like, oh man, can you believe so and so died? I can't believe this, that, the other. I accidentally hit like 3 of the 4 plot points with Tony. Like, even one point was like, man, I totally didn't see an ice dragon coming. Did you? Woo! That was whoo! I can't believe they fucking killed the dragon, and then they brought it back. And like, so I was completely 100% joking. And then I watched the episode because I hadn't watched it yet. And I hit 3 of the main 4 plot points. Tony was furious with me, and it was hilarious but sad at the same time.
Yeah, so now I forbid Brett from even like joking about that type of shit because he's some sort of prophet and guesses this shit, you know. So yeah, that was pretty. I mean, the hindsight obviously is fucking hilarious, but I was pissed, you know.
Yeah, he was. I got an angry phone call. It was fun.
Yeah. But I wasn't murdery pissed, though, you know? Oh, man, that takes me back to the story of Sweet Our Evil Chris when I wanted to punch this guy's fucking face. And I ended up breaking my fan instead. You know, I just redirected the punch. It wasn't to that point, Brett, but I did want to slightly choke you a little bit.
I was glad I was alone. In fairness, I felt terrible.
Yeah, these things
watching,
happen.
When I was watching the show, I was like, it was not only just the show, but I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. No. Oh, God, no. Don't do that.
Oh, man. All right, people. So, yeah, thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
Pull me under.
Oh, God.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
Dracaris.
Adam Vale.
Warhammer Champions card game coming to Switch free Tuesday.
Yay. And Brian Monjoma.
I wonder if the same people asking Dark Souls for an easy mode wanted to be an easy mode for life.
Probably. You know? Alright, guys, we'll see you, man. Go watch Game of Thrones, man. Later.